Historically, Prime Minister Tayyip Erdogan has consolidated much of his power by raising fears about the threat of domestic terrorism and the so-called deep state, a shadowy network of military and civilian elites who for decades have stifled any perceived threat to a secular Turkey. It's a kind of cabal of unseen hands, often violent, that smacks of conspiracy theory. Except, as New Yorker staff writer Dexter Filkins found out, it actually exists.
It is absolutely extraordinary. I didn't believe it when I started. I thought the deep state was a myth that they had created so they could arrest all these people. And the deep state is a totally real phenomenon. Death squads, secret detention centers, everything. That's what makes it so hard. The truth is so fantastic that you can't dismiss it as a conspiracy theory. I mean, the conspiracy theories are sort of cut in both ways, you know? Like, there is a deep state, like, absolutely, it's crazy, but Erdogan is also exaggerating the threat of the deep state so that he can, like, arrest people. So it's nuts.
And part of that roundup included the press. How did that play out?
When Erdogan came into power, he basically decided, not publicly, but he basically decided he was going to crush the remnants of the deep state. And what he has done over the past, particularly over the past 5 or 6 years, but it's happening right now, is he's arrested hundreds of people, not just military officers, not just police officers, but university presidents, the heads of television stations, newspaper editors, reporters, NGO activists. The net has just widened and widened and widened.
It's become a kind of get-into-jail-free card for him.
If you start to criticize the government, you better run for cover. And there's a growing sense in the West that Erdogan, you know, may have started with good intentions about sort of going after the remnants of this kind of, you know, this weird organization, but that he's gone way too far and that basically he's kind of reaching for authoritarianism. And I think that's a pretty fair criticism. Turkey imprisons more journalists than any country in the world. And that includes Iran, it includes China, it includes Russia. Turkey, if you measure it by journalists put in prison, is the most repressive country in the world. It's something that you don't hear a lot about in the United States because I think Turkey is a pretty modern country and its economy has been booming for the last 10 years. And they're in a really crummy part of the world. They're in a part of the world which is always in upheaval and been very violent and where, frankly, the United States doesn't have a lot of friends. And so we've been kind of very happy with Erdogan and to have him as an ally and somebody that we can talk to and somebody who appears to share most of our values. So you don't hear a lot about the repressive things that he's doing.
Is he Mubarak? Is he Hugo Chavez? Is he Putin? Who is this guy?
I think Erdogan is Erdogan. I mean, he's very much a product of Turkey's pretty unique political history and religious tradition. I mean, there's elements of him which, you know, the kind of the populist tough guy. So, you know, is that Chavez or Putin or whoever? I do think that if he doesn't stop, if he keeps going, he's going down a pretty dangerous road. And there's a lot of indications today, and again, you know, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but Erdogan, who's been prime minister since 2002, wants to be president, and he wants to rewrite the Constitution, put it before the people, but essentially expanding the powers of the presidency and then run for president himself. So, you know, if he has his way, he's going to have a lot of power and he's going to be in power for probably another decade at least. So all those things, again, I mean, those are very suggestive of authoritarian, anti-democratic impulses on his part.
The CEO of one of the largest media groups, which happens to be part of a conglomerate with even more to lose, apologized to his own staff at his biggest TV channel for, in his words, betraying the audience by not doing a more credible job covering the protests and the police overreaction. If he's willing to go out on a limb, do you think it's plausible that the rest of the Turkish media will begin to feel its oats as well?
I think so. I mean, that's a remarkable development. You hear these stories, you know, they're true. I think of how intimidating Erdogan's government has been with the press to the point where Erdogan would just call in the editors of the big newspapers and television stations in Turkey and he'd say, okay, this is what's going to happen and I don't want to hear any criticism about it from you guys. Okay, end of meeting. Is that ice starting to crack? Maybe. We've all seen this 100 times in other countries when people begin to get angry and the pent-up frustrations start to come out, you know, events can move very, very quickly. And that's happening here. And so while Erdogan 3 weeks ago may have been one of the most popular leaders in the world, 3 weeks from now he may not be. And so I think the Turkish press has been intimidated, cowed, beaten up, imprisoned, all that. And maybe we're starting to see that change.
Dexter, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Dexter Filkins is a staff writer at The New Yorker.
Turkey has been convulsed by political protest for 7 days. Now the Prime Minister is back with a rousing message for his followers.
Her ne yapacaksak, demokrasi içinde yapacağız.
Whatever we do it within democracy. Whatever we do it with the law. We, 76 million people, will all see the illegitimate ways and stand against them.
Hep birlikte